If you care to read along with me, the reading will be from 1 Peter, verses 6 through 9. And I'll be reading from a different translation than most of you have. This is a New Living Translation. I like it because I can read it easier. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by a fiery trial, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him, you trust him. And even now, you are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Your reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. Please be seated.
That verse 8, it says, even though you don't see him, you love him. The next time we see Jesus, it will be coming in the blink of an eye. And when we see God, it will be because we're in eternity with the Father forever. We don't see him, but we love him. So there was a group of people that were able to see his presence on earth. I want to talk about those people at that mountain in just a moment. A friend of mine in college told me a story. He grew up in eastern Kentucky. And I'm from central Kentucky, all right? I don't claim to be from eastern Kentucky. If anybody here has roots in eastern Kentucky, you kind of know what I'm talking about. We might call that the other side of the river. It's called up in the mountains, what we say in Kentucky. Some claim to be from eastern Kentucky. No harm, no foul. That's all right. Just different types. So I'm central Kentucky. He told me about eastern Kentucky. Growing up, literally, his home on a mountainside, his driveway was S-shaped because it was so steep. The terrain, you couldn't go straight up. Well, he said one night during the summers at college, he was back at home in the woods, and he was out praying really late at night. And in that prayer, he was praying for Jesus to return. And he was praying very, very vocally, with great emotion. And he tells this story, and it's fascinating, because he said he was down, eyes closed, head bowed, Jesus come back, and then all of a sudden, this bright light pierced through the woods, and it was consuming him. And he opened up his eyes, and he told the story back then with this sudden and intense emotion of like, did I just pray this into happening? And then the trucker pulled the horn and realized it was an 18-wheeler. It was the headlights of an 18-wheeler. So Jesus didn't come back, but he felt in that moment, even if it was just for a glimpse of a moment, what it would have been like, what it would be like. The presence of God, even just a flash of light when your mind is set on the coming Christ, what that presence must have felt like. So the sermon for tonight is because we're having a KFC event and I'm trying to focus in on children. So I put as many pictures for our kids to look at as they can possibly see. And I'll do my best to click through these pictures quickly. And I want to showcase the story of Israel coming to this place, that place, Mount Sinai, the mountain where Moses got the Ten Commandments. And this was a journey from Egyptian slavery into the wilderness wanderings. And kids, look at the massive amounts of people on that bottom left side wandering through the wilderness. finally coming and encamping at the foot of Mount Sinai, what that must have been like for that massive, massive multitude and caravan of people to be following the Lord God from a city into a desert, now to the foot of a giant mountain. And what must that have been like to see the presence of God? Adults, look in Exodus chapter 19. It's a familiar story, and I want to highlight several places, statements, and word pictures that's found within this chapter. Exodus chapter 19. Moses is encamped at the foot of the mountain. Israel is encamped there at the foot. Has anybody gone camping, kids? Has anybody been camping before? You bring tents, you sleep outside, and when you walk out of your tent, you see what you're around. Well, think about this. They slept in a tent, and when they stepped out of their tent, they saw the giant mountain in front of them. And it wasn't just any giant mountain, because this was the giant mountain where the presence of God was being seen before the people. Look at verse 3 in Exodus chapter 19. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain. God spoke through loud thunders, through this cloud of smoke, and he communicated to Moses, "This is what you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell all the people of Israel." He said, "Remember what I did for you in Egypt, all the 10 plagues. Remember how I brought you through the wilderness when you probably should have died. And now here, if you do these things," and this is a very powerful word. The word is if. If you obey my voice. I bet kids, your mommy and daddy have said if before. If you listen to me, if you maybe do this or that, what will happen? Well, you'll get the stuff that you actually want. Here's what God said to Moses. If you obey my voice, listen and follow. If you keep my covenant, you take part in doing what I ask you to do, you will be my, what is that little picture? That's a treasure chest. Because God looks at you and looks at us as his children and says, treasure. Special people, priests, a holy nation, which means to be different and set apart. If they did that, they get to be that. I got to read a portion of a book called Green Beans and Ice Cream. So I guess everybody knows where I'm going with this one. I love the story. He says, it was supper time, and there they were again, green, slimy, stringy. My worst nightmare. Yeah, it was green beans, all right, again. By the time I was a 4-year-old kid, I had already sampled green beans and concluded that they weren't for me. The strings might as well have been wood chips. The way they caught in my throat as I tried to get them down, Mom was my boss, and I was her newest employee. We had a real labor management crisis going on. She begged, cajoled, pleaded, but I was determined not to eat those green beans. So I crossed my arms, I frowned and pouted, figuring she would give up and she would forget about those green beans, as she always had in the past. But this time, Mom had a secret weapon. Now, there was something else on the table besides those dreaded green beans. Billy Joe, if you eat your green beans, you can have some... you guessed it, ice cream. The sheer stroke of maternal genius changed my behavior forever. In a flash, I saw those green beans not as an oppressive burden, but as a first-class ticket to that lovely ice cream. Sure, Mom got what she wanted, a balanced diet for her 4-year-old. And I got ice cream. Pretty cool. Has your mom ever done that to you? Has your dad ever gave you that, if you eat this, you might get this scenario? I know my boys will shake their head yes. We understand that with green beans and ice cream. In a much different way, that blank circle is supposed to have the word holy behind it. I guess the font's changed. That's my bad. In a much different way, God was saying to them, if you do this, which you don't initially want to do, it may not look good and look pleasing to you, but trust me, you'll get something really good from it. And here's the crazy thing about green beans, kids. They're actually good for you. And eventually you grow up and you realize, I like them, I want them, I crave them. And as God's people, while His commandments at times, I'm sure back then, people thought, man, these don't look that great to me. This doesn't sound all that awesome to me. But eventually you grow up and you realize, wow, this is good for me. God must be looking out for me. I crave them. I want them. I want to fear God and obey His commandments. Not just because I get all the good stuff, but because they're actually good for me. And so in Exodus 19, this is where God was giving His people those commandments. If you do these, you'll be my special people. And so the Bible talks about He came down in a giant cloud of smoke. Have you ever seen a giant cloud of smoke before? This is not exactly what it looked like, I'm sure, but this is an imagery for us to get into our mind. And so these are the words that the Lord spoke to Israel, verse 6. Now 7. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Skip to verse 9, adults. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak and believe forever. I don't know what this sounded like. So many people have tried to create images that would touch the moment. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to be in the presence of God. To see, to taste, to touch, to hear, to smell. You know, all those five senses. What it must have been like to see the lightning and the smoke. All that mountain right before me. To taste the dry mouth as nerves. As Israel came out of their tent, they stood before and they saw the lightning and the thunder. And they may have had some anxiousness in their... had that dry mouth. Maybe to touch the person next to him as they crowded together at the foot of the mountain and realizing they could not touch the mountain, the Bible said, because that's where the presence of God was. They heard the thunder and the trumpet, as Exodus 19 says, got louder and louder and louder, the smell of the smoke from the fire consuming their noses. This was an all-consuming experience, touching all the senses of every person. And so God did what He said He was going to do. Moses came up to the mountain, and in verse 16, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings, a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. The presence of God should cause us to tremble, as a prayer was recently prayed. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. And now Mount Sinai, it was wrapped up in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire, and the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. And the whole mountain trembled greatly. I'm almost imagining that earthquake, that shake of to hear and see and taste and smell and touch the presence of God. In verse 19, and as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him in thunder, and what that must have been like. And then the Lord, verse 20, came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And that's when Moses went up to the very peak. And God gave him those 10 commandments. Have you ever heard of these 10 commandments before? I am the Lord your God. The first four are about me internally with God. I'm the Lord your God. Have no other gods, no idolatry. Don't take my name in vain. Honor the Sabbath, which for them was their day of worship. So here's what, hey kids, here's what God said is important. Love me. Pay attention how you talk. And worship me. You may not want to all the time, but eventually you'll learn to love it and you'll crave it and you'll desire it. And it's actually good for you. And these next six are about how we deal with other people. Because the greatest commandments are what? Love God and then love others. And that's almost seen in the Ten Commandments. So honor your father and mother. Is that always easy to do, to honor mom and dad? Nope. But God knew it's what was needed. Honor mom and dad. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery, which means be honest and truthful in your relationships. Don't steal from anybody. Don't lie. Don't crave and want to take things from other people. But be happy with what you have. God knew these Ten Commandments would keep His people. It would cause them to be a holy people. How we act, what is on our hearts, what's in our minds matters when in the presence of the Lord. When they came to that mountain, there was a sense of trembling, love, nervousness, anxiousness, excitement, worship. Because the presence of God is so powerful. And what's really cool is, Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of time. We're always in the presence of God. So in other words, we should always feel His presence, tremble in love, in praise, in devotion, excitement, nerves if I'm not acting as I ought to. And remembering how I act, what's in my heart and on my mind matters. This matters because just like God told the people in the Old Testament way long ago, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. He said it again in the New Testament for Christians in 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, that we should be holy. Now, how are we to be holy? How are we to be God's people? Well, we listen to what He has to say. We obey what He's given us to obey. But we always remember this. We used to be people struggling and lost in sin, but we were washed. We were sanctified. We were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. We were made holy in Jesus, by Jesus, and through Jesus to the glory of God. God's presence should bring respect and a desire to be holy only in Christ. So what do we take away? See that big mountain, kids? I would love to have been there to see it. I would love to have been there to hear God's voice in the thunders, to see the strikes of the lightning, to know God is speaking. But guess what? Even though we can't see that, we can still love Him. Because 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 tells us, even though we don't see Him, we still love Him. How do we love Him? By faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. I want you to know, you may not see God, but you will love Him and can love Him. You may not see His presence, but you can be feeling His presence, His comfort, His peace, His arms wrapped around you as His child. And when you're in His presence, your respect and love grows and a desire to be God's holy child, set apart in Christ Jesus, to the glory of the Father. Mount Sinai, what a great mountain. What a great message for God's people to be reminded of tonight. You know, we've been in God's presence numerous times today. I hope it's one you haven't taken for granted. Not just today, but any day. Being in God's presence ought to bring about the emotions of love and fear, trembling and awe and respect and admiration and all of the above. And if you need some help to wipe away the callous, to be made new, to be renewed in mind and spirit, let God do that within your life tonight. Be reminded of this message. And as we continue to be in God's presence, allow it to fill you and move you as we continue in our worship. And if we can help you in any way, we'd love to do so, as you stand up and sing this song together.